this morning. If He was willing to die for us, then we ought be willing to live for Him. Amen? With every part of our being, because He died with every part of His being for us. And boy, what a great song this morning. Luke chapter number 6, if you're physically able, I'll have you stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin in verse number 46. We'll allow the junior church to be dismissed, and also toddler church can be dismissed this morning. Luke chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 46, the Bible says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." I'd like for us to look at verse 46 once again. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And I'd like to bring a message to you this morning entitled, "Don't Just Say It, Prove It." Don't just say it, prove it. Father, help us today. Father, may Your Holy Spirit have freedom to work in our midst today. Father, may Your Holy Spirit have freedom to convince and challenge and prove to us what Your Word has to say to us today, the message that You desire to reveal to us today. Father, I do ask if there would be one here today without Christ, or maybe even two, or maybe a handful. Father, may today be the day that the Holy Spirit convinces them of their need for salvation. Father, for the believers that are gathered here together today, Father, may we be reminded, may we be challenged once again, that if we're going to call You Lord, then we should live as if You are our Lord. Father, help us not just to say that You are Lord and call You Lord, but Father, help us to prove it by the way that we live. Father, that's what this dying world is looking for. It is looking for some genuine Christianity. And Father, I pray that they would find it right here in the membership of this local church. These, Your people gathered here this morning, may this world be able to look at them and say, there's a genuine Christian. There's someone who doesn't just say it, but they do it and they prove it. And Father, may that be us this morning. Teach us and help us, Father. Do in our hearts what only You can do. Father, move flesh aside, whether it would be the speaker or the listeners. Father, may we be yielded to Your Holy Spirit this morning. Say only the things that we need to, nothing more, nothing less, Father. And we'll praise You and thank You and give You glory for what You're going to do in our hearts in the moments to come. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Our choir sings a song entitled, "I Dare Not Call Him Lord." And it says, "I dare not call Him Lord and live the way I choose." By the way, I believe that song, and it doesn't say it in the music, but I believe it's probably taken from this verse. I dare not call Him Lord and then live the way that I choose. As Christians, especially as American Christians, we have become very good, if not excellent, at wearing the clothing, at displaying the artwork, and at giving lip service to the name of Jesus Christ. However, we are sorely lacking when it comes to actually performing that which Jesus Christ has commanded. By the way, you don't need to look any further than social media and see that. People who post verses, and by the way, I'm for that, who post verses and post quotes of great men, of good preachers, and then somewhere down in the timeline, somewhere down in another post, you'll see profanity or you'll see some innuendo or something that ought not be there. And I submit to us this morning, friend, if we're going to call Him Lord, we need to live like it. And we need to prove it. For several weeks, we spoke of the church sharpened. As we think about our theme this year, the word sharpened. And by the way, we may preach a few more messages along that line in the days to come. However, today I want us to begin a series and move into another series about this word sharpened. And I want us to see the home sharpened. It's been quite some time, since we have actually preached a series of messages on the home. And it doesn't matter if you still have kids at home or not. It doesn't matter if you are grandparents. It doesn't matter if it's just you all by yourself in your home. This passage in verses 46 through 49 teach us that if we're going to have a proper home, it's only going to happen as we sharpen our obedience to God's Word. Because that's what he says in verse number 46. He says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I submit to us this morning that our homes will never be fully sharpened until we get a handle on the truth which is expounded in the passage before us today. What is that truth? What is the truth that we find in these four verses? Many truths, but it is the truth of genuine Christianity versus hypocrisy. It is the truth of wisdom versus foolishness. And by the way, we'll go this morning, but we have a very similar passage in Matthew chapter number 7. And even though we don't find it here in Luke chapter number 6, in Matthew chapter number 7, the man mentioned in verse number 48 is called a wise man. And the man mentioned in verse number 49 in Matthew chapter number 7 is called the foolish man. And so it's the truth of wisdom versus foolishness. It's the truth of obedience versus disobedience. It is simply the truth of not just saying that He is Lord, but actually proving that He is Lord by doing what He says. I hope you have a bulletin this morning. You'll be able to follow along with the outline on the back of your bulletin there. And I want to give us three truths that we find here in Luke chapter number 6. And then also we'll go to Matthew chapter number 7 a little bit this morning as well. And the first thing I want us to see this morning, I'd like for us to see the structures that are built. The structures that are built. The Bible says in verse number 48, "He is like a man which built an house." We have in Luke chapter number 6, we have in Matthew chapter number 7, we have two structures built. And by the way, this morning, every single one of us is building a structure, aren't we? I don't mean a physical structure, although you may be building a physical structure this morning. That's not what we're speaking about. We're taking the metaphor that is used here in Luke chapter number 6. And every single one of us are building something. We are building a structure in our spiritual lives. By the way, we are building a spiritual home. Whether it's a home with a mom and a dad and some children, whether it's a home with just a husband and a wife because your children are grown up, or whether it may just be a man or may just be a woman or whatever the case may be in that home, every single one of us this morning are building a spiritual house. All of us. Hey, teenagers, I submit to you this morning that you are already on your way to building a spiritual house. You're not married yet. You don't have children, but you're already planting the foundation, if you will, of what kind of spiritual home you're going to have one day. The Bible says here that there are two men, there are two types of structures that are being built. The Bible says in verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." There's the first structure. The second structure we find in verse number 49. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, And the ruin of that house was great. The structures that are built, there are two structures. First of all, a home built upon the firm foundation. The first structure that we find in verse number 48 is a home built upon the firm foundation. Now, notice in verse number 46, he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He has just finished up in Luke chapter number 6 talking about the Beatitudes. We know it back in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount. He has just finished preaching, and so now he says, look, if you don't obey my sayings, if you don't obey what we've just talked about, then don't call me Lord, Lord. If you're not going to listen to what I've just expounded to you, then you are an individual who is building a house upon the sand. Take your Bibles, hold your place here in Luke 6, and go back with me to Matthew chapter number 7. Would you do that real quickly? Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin in verse number 24. The structures that are built, first of all, a home built upon the firm foundation. We know this morning the firm foundation is God's Word. In Luke 6, it talks about being built upon the rock. It is God's Word. It is the sayings. It is the message that He has just finished expounding, just finished preaching. We know the firm foundation is God's Word. And by the way, our obedience to it. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine." Listen, what we found our lives upon isn't just some man's opinion. This is the very doctrine of Almighty God. Look what He says in verse 29. "For He taught them as one having authority." By the way, why did He teach them as one having authority? Because He had all authority. He wasn't just some man. He was the God man. He was the authoritative man. "For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Listen, I can tell you how to build your home, but if it's not based on the authority of God's Word, you can take it or leave it. You can take it or leave it. Because what's important is not my opinion. What's important is God's Word. What's important is not your grandma's opinion. What's important is God's Word, as much as you may love your grandmother. What's important is not some man's opinion, but it's God's Word. And so first of all, we see the structures that are built, either a home built upon the firm foundation, or secondly, let her be a home built upon the shifting sand. The structures that are built. Let me ask you this morning, what structure are you building this morning? A home built, a spiritual home built upon the firm foundation, or a home built upon the shifting sand, upon man's opinion, upon disobedience to God's Word, upon "I will do it my way, I don't care what God's Word says. I believe my way is better." By the way, let's go back just real quickly. We'll not take a long time with this, but let's go back to chapter number 5. Let's kind of get a little idea of some of the content of these sayings. What are the sayings that He's talking about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, in Luke chapter number 6, verse number 46? What are some of the sayings? When Jesus Christ finishes the message, He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine..." Well, what are some of the sayings? Well, in the first part of Matthew chapter number 5, we have the Beatitudes. He says in verse number 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn." Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek." Verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful." Verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are, were before you. Verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. He talks about us being the salt and the light of the earth. Verses 17, he begins to talk about how Christ was the fulfillment of the law. And in verse number 21, he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry, Brother Roma talked about this in Sunday school this morning, is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before their altar, before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. What are some of the sayings? The Beatitudes. Don't be angry at your brother. Being angry at your brother without cause is the same as murder, Christ said. Remember, Christ's grace and Christ always elevates. We want to bring Christ's word and his grace down today, but no. He elevates our holiness. He elevates how we ought live. Verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy right hand, verse 30, offend thee, cut it off. Verse 31, it hath been said. Remember, do you see that? Verse 21, ye have heard. Verse number 27, ye have heard. Verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Verse 33, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say, and you swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool. Verse number 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecuteth you. Chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Verse number 8, he teaches them how to pray. Verse number 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Some of the sayings. That's what he's talking about when he says sayings. And he comes to the end of the chapter and he said, look, if you'll listen to these sayings and you'll put them into practice, if you'll obey them and if you'll do what I have asked you to do and commanded you to do, I will look at you and I will look at you as a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The structures that are built, a home built upon the firm foundation. The firm foundation is God's Word and our obedience to it. I can't just say that He is Lord. I must prove that He is Lord in my life, or I can build a home upon the shifting sand. The earth that is constantly shifting. Man's opinions and man's ideas of who God is and how we should live are constantly changing. By the way, constantly changing in churches and in the religious world, are they not? My son told me yesterday he saw an article. He saw an article about a Satanist, and this Satanist made the comment. He said, one of our greatest allies in our movement is the Progressive Christian Church. Wow. Did you? I know you're awake because I see all of your eyes this morning. You heard that, didn't you? This Satanist said one of our greatest allies is the Progressive Christian Church. Who's the Progressive Christian Church? The church that questions many things in the Word of God. The church that questions the holiness that we're supposed to live by. The church that says, well, we know there are passages maybe in the Old Testament, but this is the New Testament, and this thing about man and man and woman and woman and this thing about marriage, it's not that big of a deal today. It absolutely is. And it will forever be a big deal until the Lord comes back. So first of all, this morning we see the structures that are built. We can either build a home upon the firm foundation upon God's Word and obedience to it, or we can build a home upon the shifting sand, upon my opinions, or just simply my disregard and disobedience to what God's Word says. Brother Roman mentioned it several times this morning as parents, and look, we're not perfect. I know that. And I look back, and honestly, my time as a parent and having influence is running out quickly. And I look back and I have some regrets on some things, but listen, friend, we have to set the example. We can't have a double standard in our lives. We can't live a certain way, and we can't say that we love the Lord, and we can't call Him Lord, Lord, and then just live the way that we choose, because if we do that, that's what our children are going to do. They're going to call Him Lord, Lord, and they're going to talk about Jesus, and His name is going to be able to flow freely off of their tongue, but they'll never, ever live for Him. Never do the things that He asked them to do. Number one this morning, the structures that are built, a home built upon the firm foundation, a home built upon the shifting sand. We can build a home upon what God's Word says, or we can build a home upon what man says. Hey, dear Christian, you have the Word of God. Build your home upon the firm foundation. Well, I know what that says, but you know, my grandma says this. I don't care what your grandma says. I don't care what your daddy says. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you better listen to the Word of God. And I'm not being disrespectful to your grandma or your daddy. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what some man says. It matters what God's Word says. By the way, my kids one day can say, well, my daddy said this, and if what their daddy said didn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter what a man says. It doesn't matter what a man thinks. It doesn't matter what a man has experienced. It doesn't matter what I have experienced. It matters what God's Word says. And if I'm going to build my home upon a firm foundation, I better listen to what God's Word says. Hey, parents, and we'll get into this. There's parents that have young kids in here this morning, and we'll get to this in the days and weeks to come. But listen, if you're going to build a home upon the firm foundation, you better listen to what God's Word says about disciplining your children. You better listen to it. Well, that's not the way I was raised. Again, not being disrespectful, but you better raise your children the way God tells you to raise them. Not the way mom and daddy, not the way grandma and grandpa. Because listen, it's funny to me that when grandma and grandpa have grandkids, they forget everything they did to their kids. I can't believe you're spanking that baby. Really? Did you forget what you did to this baby? They forget, don't they? That's why we better stick to the Word of God. And by the way, you'll have teachers and you'll have ball coaches and listen, our society is growing more and more, American society is growing more and more feminine every day. Boy, if you have boys, make them be boys. I was watching a ball game just a couple days ago, and the coach the coach grabbed the jersey of the basketball player. And you may disagree with me on this, but boy, the commentators were just, he grabbed his jersey. And I thought, look, when I was in ninth grade on my junior high basketball team, there was a game specifically I remember. And my coach grabbed my jersey numerous times in that game because I wasn't listening. And boy, he'd call a timeout and we'd come to the side and he'd grab my jersey and say, man, what is wrong with you? Are you not listening to what I'm telling you? And we have become so feminine in our nation that, boy, you can't do anything. And boy, if you touch somebody, that's going to hurt their feelings. Are you serious? These are grown men. These are supposed to be warriors, by the way. We're warriors out on the basketball court. But listen, when I come to the sideline, coach, don't you dare touch me. And don't you dare say anything negative to me. And by the way, I'm not talking about a coach hitting a player. That's not what I'm talking about. Look, he just grabbed his jersey to get his attention. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. You might disagree with me on that, but that's okay. We're in a mess. We're in a mess. The structures that are built. Now, grabbing somebody's jersey is not in the Bible, is it? But being a man is. And being who God made you to be is. And God made men to be men. He made women to be women. Nothing wrong with that. We ought not shy away from that. By the way, and we're going to get to number two here in just a second. My son showed me, wasn't a commercial, it was just a little post. But this is, I think it's this month or maybe it was a certain day, but this month is Women's Month. And Burger King put out an ad. Any of y'all see this? I don't know who their marketing director is, but hopefully they were fired very quickly. But they put out an ad and said, women ought to be in the kitchen. What? This is 2021. You're going to get in so much trouble. Their point was, what they were trying to make the point, is too many men are taking the top chef positions in many restaurants. And they're angry about that. Too many men taking over the chef positions. And so their commercial was, women ought to be in the kitchen. To most people, that's derogatory today, isn't it? But you see how confused we are today? We're so confused that we don't even know how to get anything right today. Yeah, keep those women in the kitchen. Bad, bad, bad marketing statement, wasn't it? The structures that are built, we can build a home upon the firm foundation. We can build a home upon the shifting sand, upon man's opinion, which is constantly changing. Man's doctrine, which is constantly changing. The structures that are built. Secondly, we see this. We see the storms which batter. The storms which batter, which beat, which pound against those homes. The structures that are built. And matters not. And we've said this many, many times because we've referenced this passage many times. But listen, it doesn't matter what kind of home you're building. Even if you're, look, if you're building a house on a firm foundation or if you're building a house on the shifting sand, it doesn't matter, the storms are going to come. Well, I'm building my house on the firm foundation, so I'm never going to have any storms. No, that's not the point. The point is we build a house on the firm foundation so that when the storms come, it'll last. It'll stand. And so it's not that, well, if I follow the Word of God, I'll never have any storms. No, by the way, if you follow the Word of God, you may have more storms. But the point is, because we've built it upon the rock, it's going to stay. It's going to stand. The storms that batter, the structures that are built, the storms which batter, which beat. Notice what the Bible says. You're probably still here in Matthew chapter number 7. The Bible says in verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. And what did it do? Beat upon that house. The Bible says, vehemently is the word used in Luke chapter number 6. Verse number 27, the same thing. Verse 25, the rain comes to the wise man's house. Verse 27, the rains and the floods, the winds come to the foolish man's house. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. We see the structures that are built, the storms which batter. We see, first of all, the sureness of the storms. We've already mentioned that storms are going to come. Doesn't matter which house you build. Secondly, we see the sources of the storms. Storms are going to come from every different source. They can be satanically influenced. They can be sovereignly injected. They can be self-inflicted. But the sources of the storms are going to come. They can be satanically influenced by TV and music and humanistic philosophies. But they're going to come. They can be sovereignly injected, God trying to purge us and God trying to make us better and God trying to refine us. James chapter 1 speaks about that. 1 Peter chapter 4 speaks about the fiery trials that come. Sometimes they're self-inflicted. A rebellious heart. Hypocritical rules. We say it all the time, I am for rules. You ought to have rules in your home. You ought to have guidelines in your home. But rules without love will lead to rebellion. Rules are absolutely necessary. You better set some guidelines in your home. Brother Roma mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. He said, look, teenage boys, his daughter's off limits. She's not dating. Well, by the way, till what age? You didn't give an age. See, I'm putting him on the spot. 22, 18. I made him commit. He says, she's off limits. She's off limits. That, you know what that is? That's a guideline. You may not have that guideline in your home, but listen, you ought to have some guidelines. You ought to have some rules. But rules without love, rules without a tender hand, rules without mom and daddy showing the kids why they have those rules. Rules without love lead to rebellion. Rules with hypocrisy lead to rebellion too. The double standard that we talked about, having rules and then mom and dad don't abide by the same rules, that leads to rebellion as well. The storms which batter, the sureness of the storms, the sources of the storms, they can be varied, they can be many, but storms are going to come. And then we see the severity of the storms. Look again at Luke chapter number 6, if you would, verse 48, the Bible says, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. Verse 49, it says the same thing. It says, against which the stream did beat vehemently. Matthew chapter number 7, the Bible says, and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It says the same thing in verse 27 about the foolish man's house. The rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. The severity of the storms, rain, floods, winds, they blow, they beat vehemently upon that home. And look, the devil's going to come and he's going to bring storms. And by the way, sometimes we bring our own storms, self-inflicted. And sometimes the Lord brings some storms just to purge us and just to make us better. And look, the storms are going to come and sometimes they're going to be severe. Sometimes it may just be a little shower, but sometimes it may be a thunderstorm. By the way, sometimes it might even be worse. But the storms are going to come. Mark it down, they're going to come. That's why it is imperative what kind of house we build. That's why it's imperative. If we're going to, what did the Bible say in Luke chapter number 6? Verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and what? Digged deep. He dug deep. He put those footers deep. He dug deep to put the foundation. He didn't just lay it on top of the ground. He just didn't lay it on the shifting sand. The Bible said this man dug deep. He went deep and he went deep and he put those footers deep and he put that foundation deep so that when the winds come, it wouldn't blow it over. That man that just put his house on top of the sand, on top of the earth, when the winds came, that sand shifts, blows that house over. It matters. Hey, listen, dear friend, it matters what kind of home you're building. Whether you're building it upon the firm foundation of God's Word or whether you're building it upon the shifting sand. Here's the problem. Many American Christians have gotten too comfortable living in their beach home. Pastor, I like living in my beach home, and when the wind blows it over, I'll just build another one. What a sad way to live. If the winds do come, if we have problems, then if that house gets blown down and gets demolished, then I'll just go build another house with another family. That's not how God planned it. That's not how God wants it. I don't say that to hurt anybody who's gone through that. I don't. It's not a statement of condemnation. It's a statement of consideration. We want to build a house that goes deep and deep. And dear friend, that type of house takes effort. If you're in the habit of underlining in your Bible, you ought to do that in Luke chapter 6, verse 48. The Bible says, and digged deep. He digged deep. He put that foundation deep. He put those blocks deep. He poured that concrete deep and laid the foundation on a rock. The rock of the Word of God, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The storms which batter the structures that are built. A firm foundation, shifting sand, the storms. Look, the sureness of the storms, they're going to come. The sources are varied. They can come from different sources, different directions. The severity of the storms, they're going to be severe. They're going to beat and blow. The rain's going to come. They're going to beat vehemently on your home. The devil, listen, the devil wants to come and just pound on your home and pound on your home and pound on your home and pound on your home because he wants to demolish it. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. He wants to demolish your home. Whether you have children in that home, whether it's just you and your spouse, whether it's just you, he wants to demolish it. And he's going to bring the winds and he's going to beat upon it and beat upon it. And thirdly, this morning, number one, the structures that are built. Number two, the storms which batter. And then number three, we see the survival of the buildings. The survival of the buildings. The Bible says in Luke 6, 48, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. Notice what it says. And could not shake it. Could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. Hey, listen, husband and wife, the devil can bring everything he wants up against you, but if your marriage is founded upon a rock, he won't be able to shake you. He won't be able to shake you. But I'm going to tell you what, if your marriage is founded upon superficial things, if your marriage is founded upon money, prosperity, upon getting and getting and getting and getting, if it's founded upon entertainment and what this life can give me and what I can enjoy, the devil's going to come and he's going to beat upon your house. In verse number 49, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. What kind of structure are you building this morning? Are you building a structure? Have you dug deep? Are you trying to dig deep right now? Are you trying to dig into the Word of God and seeing, okay, what kind of man should I be? What kind of woman should I be? What kind of child should I be? What kind of teenager should I be? Are you digging deep? By the way, teenagers, you ought to be doing that too. Young men, you ought to be digging deep and saying, you know, what kind of man does God want me to be in this wicked world that we're living in right now? Young ladies, you ought to be digging deep into the Word of God and saying, okay, what kind of young lady does God's Word want me to be in the year 2021 in an America that is losing its mind? Dig deep. That takes work. Doesn't it? You know just as well as I do, it takes work to dig into the Word of God. It can't just be a little superficial, 5 minutes every morning and I'm done and boy, I'm going to have a great home. No, you got to dig deep. You got to study the Word of God. Got to find out what kind of man He wants you to be, what kind of lady He wants you to be, what kind of children He wants you to be. The survival of the buildings, two things. Our homes will either weather the storms or our homes will be wrecked in the storms. Our homes will either weather the storms or our homes will be wrecked in the storms. The Bible says in verse 49, it could not shake it. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 25, it said it fell not. In verse number 27, verse 25, it said it fell not. In verse 27, it said, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In Luke 6, it says, and the ruin of that house was great. Listen, dear friend, who are you listening to today? Who are you listening to when it comes to training your children? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the Word of God when it comes to training your children? Listen, friend, it ought to get you a little excited on the inside when a child or a teenager is disrespectful to authority. That ought to get you excited a little bit. And I don't mean excited in a good way. That ought to stir you a little bit. Have you ever made the statement, "Whoa, that kid needs some home training"? All of us probably have. You're out in Walmart, you're going to see some kids who need some home training. Here's the thing, though. Don't let that be our kids. But by the way, we don't train them in the Word of God just so they won't embarrass us. How many times have we said that? My goal is not so that my children won't embarrass me when I'm at a restaurant or at Walmart or a grocery store. That's not my goal. My goal is to raise spiritually mature children. Spiritually mature children that go to spiritually mature teenagers who will be spiritually mature adults, young adults. Not so that they just won't embarrass me. By the way, not so that they just don't end up in jail either. Well, as long as my kids don't end up in jail, boy, we've made it. No, friend. The goal ought to be children who act like Jesus Christ. That ought to be the goal. And by the way, if that's the goal for them, that ought to be the goal for us. If that's the goal for our children, that ought to be the goal for mom and dad. That ought to be the goal for grandma and grandpa. That ought to be the goal for Sunday school teacher. That ought to be the goal for the pastor. That ought to be the goal for the deacons, that we set the example for the ones coming behind. What kind of structure are you building? Because here's the truth, the storms are going to come. They're going to come to my house. They're going to come to your house. They probably came to your house this week. But the survival of the building is determined by the structure that we're building. The survival of the building depends on whether I'm building it upon a firm foundation or upon the shifting sand. And when those storms come and we're building it upon a firm foundation, we just hold on to the Word of God and we hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ and we have faith and we don't let it shake us. Amen? We don't let it shake us. But if it's built on the sand, the floods are going to come, the storms are going to come, financial crisis is going to come, health crisis is going to come, spiritual crisis is going to come, and we're just going to fall apart because our faith isn't strengthened. By the way, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to strengthen your faith? You need to hear more of the Word of God. You want to strengthen your home? We need to build it upon the rock of the Word of God, upon the firm foundation. Not what I believe and not what some man believes, but what God Almighty says. Listen, dear friend, Oprah doesn't know how to raise my children. Dr. Phil doesn't know how to raise my children. And any other psychiatrist or philosopher that you want to mention doesn't know how to raise my children. God knows how to raise my children. And God has given me a book, a manual, His Word, to teach me how to raise those children. He's given me His Word to know how to build a spiritual home. Are any of us perfect? Absolutely not. Got some chinks in the foundation, some cracks in the foundation sometimes. Yeah. Sure. But boy, we're digging deep. And we're putting the footers deep. Because when that storm comes, we want to make it. I say the same thing for our church. When the storms come, we want to make it. That's why we're digging deep. We're digging deep into the Word of God. We're trying to do what the Word of God tells us. Our homes will either weather the storm or they'll be wrecked in the storm. Listen, I want your home to weather the storm. I want my home to weather the storm. I want our church to weather the storms. And we're only going to do it when we build on the firm foundation. Is that what you're building on this morning? Is that what we're listening to? Hey, Dad, are you leading the way in your home? Are you digging deep for your children? Are you working hard, giving the effort, giving the diligence for your children? Because I'm going to tell you what, you know this just as well as I do. It only takes one little moment. It only takes one little moment and one little crack for the devil to get in. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It only takes letting the door open one little time and letting a little, because a snake can get in a little crack, can't it? And that's all he needs. That's why we dig deep. That's why we're diligent. That's why we listen to what the Word of God says in every area of our lives. Father, thank you for the time you've given us today. Father, I know this is a familiar passage, and I know we've referenced it before, probably many times. But Father, we need a reminder constantly. We need to be sharpened constantly. As we get dull. And we can become dull in our homes. We can become dull as Christians. When we know the lingo, we know the language, we can talk about Jesus, we can have the signs in our yards, we can have the beautiful pictures in our homes about Jesus, but we become dull to actually proving what we say we believe. Father, help us not just to say, help us not just to say it, but help us to prove it. Help us not just to say, Lord, Lord, but Lord, help us to do your sayings. And Father, help us to build a home founded upon the rock where the foundation goes deep, where the commitment to your word is deep, where the obedience to your word is deep. May that be our homes this morning. Help us, Lord. I believe we have great homes in here this morning. Lord, I don't know hearts. I don't know what needs to be dealt with today. But Lord, if your Holy Spirit has dealt with hearts, may you work and may individuals move and get some things right with you today, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know any struggles. I don't know any storms that you might be going through right now. I don't even know what kind of structures you're necessarily building. I don't know because I don't live with you, just like you don't live with me. But dear friend, I pray that if we're not building upon that firm foundation, I pray that this morning we have been reminded and that we will leave here with a commitment, and we will make that commitment even right now. Lord, I want to be that wise man. I don't want to be a foolish man. I want to build my house upon the rock of the Word of God. I want to dig deep. I want to put in the work. I want to give the effort. Hey, moms, maybe you would say this morning, or wives, you may not be a mom. You may just be a wife. Or you just may be a Christian lady this morning. And you'd say, Lord, I've been living a superficial life. It's all about the outward. It's all about the superficial. I talk about the Lord. I have pictures in my home about Jesus. And I have artwork and I have clothing that has the name Jesus on it. But for people to look at my actual life, it doesn't really display Jesus at all. Would you get that right with the Lord this morning? Don't just say it, prove it. Don't build your home upon the shifting sand. Build your home upon a firm foundation. Might be a husband and a wife who just need to kneel right where you're at, sit right where you're at, and just pray and say, Lord, help us. Help our marriage. Help our home to be sharpened constantly, daily. This old world can make it dull. By the way, serving the Lord can make it dull sometimes. Our edge becomes dull because we're working and working and working and we're not taking the time to sharpen. Maybe there would be some dads this morning that would just in your heart, you would say, Lord, I haven't taken the lead in my home. And Lord, I need to do that. I need to start making decisions. I need to start making decisions about spiritual matters that's going to help not only me, but it's going to help my family. It's going to help the people that I work with. It's going to help my church family. And I'm going to tell you what, it may be hard to make that decision. To say, you know what, we're going to be in the house of God whenever the doors are open. We're not going to be at the ball field. We're not going to be at the lake. We're not going to be doing whatever. We're not going to be sitting at home. If we're able to be in the house of God, we're not going to be sitting at home watching the live stream. We're going to be at church, fellowshipping with our church family. Keep me safe as the storm passes by. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. And that's what happens when we build a home, when we build a structure on the foundation of God's Word. Amen. Look this way, if you will. We're going to pray, be dismissed. Look forward to seeing you back tonight. Do pray. I'm looking forward to maybe next Sunday night getting back into the book of Daniel. We've been in Daniel back in November and December. We've been out of it for a while, but hopefully next Sunday night we'll get back in Daniel chapter 7, talking about the 70 weeks and beginning to look at some prophecy that Daniel speaks about, beginning in Daniel 7. So I pray that you'll pray about that with me, for me, for that we can get back into the book of Daniel. Amen. Hey, be back tonight at 6, would you? Would you? If you can, if possible, be back tonight so that we can hear one more time and be helped one more time from God's Word. Brother Tim Turner is going to dismiss us. And we'll look forward to being back together tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother Tim, you pray, please.